Heavenly Father, we pray that you will take my words and speak through them. Take our hearts and speak to them, that each of us may hear your word today. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So in the church's calendar, September the 29th is the feast of St. Michael and All Angels. But because it's not a feast of our Lord Jesus, Sunday takes preference, so it gets relegated to Monday. The effect of that is that you never hear readings about angels, and you never hear a sermon about them. So I thought I'd choose that as my topic today. And I looked around this church last night, and I think I found some 8 pictures of angels. You can spend the rest of the sermon seeing if you can see 8. But there is something. There are 2 up there, there are 2 over there, there's 1 appearing to Mary here, 2 in the door, and there's 1 on top of the font. I think that makes 8. If not, my mathematics is the problem. But there's something which I feel is not quite right about all of our angels. And that is that none of them frighten me. Have you noticed when you hear the New Testament about angels, they're always saying to people, do not be afraid, fear not. So angels must be pretty terrifying. These aren't. At least I don't think they are. We also hear in the Epistle to the Hebrews about people who have entertained angels unawares. And there are several points in the book of Genesis where you read stories where one moment it's referring to men and another moment it's referring to angels, and the words are used interchangeably. So we could ask ourselves, what are angels? The Greek word that the New Testament uses for angel is angelos. You can see where we get our word from. It's an ordinary, everyday word that simply means messenger. So when we talk about angels, we're talking about messengers. Do we have messengers today? Or is messenger something that just appears in our mobile phones? But I have an image of my mind of somebody who knocks on your door and has a telegram and is bringing you a message. And when you get that message, what you do is you tear open the envelope and you read the message. You don't spend your time gazing at the messenger saying, what a beautiful uniform you're wearing, or what wonderful wings you have. You're interested in the message, aren't you? That's why the messenger came. It's all about the message. And so when we think about angels, the thing that comes to me first is that we have a God who has a message to give to us. We have a God who has something to say to us. We have a God who speaks to us. And I often find myself thinking that we don't do enough talking about how we respond to that and how we listen to God's message and God's word today. And I want to make a number of points about how we listen to God. And the first thing is to actually believe in a God who speaks. If we don't believe that God speaks, we don't listen. And we don't hear anything. I preached a similar sermon in another place years ago, and somebody came up to me afterwards and said, I've never heard God speaking. I don't believe he does. And after a break in the conversation, I said, well, that's why you're not hearing. You don't believe he speaks, so you're not bothering to listen. Which brings me to my second point about concentrating on God's voice. otherwise we won't hear it. There's a story about Elijah in the first book of Kings. He's been in conflict with King Ahab and he has fled, and he is hiding somewhere in a cave. And God tells him to go to the mouth of the cave and he will appear to him. And then in a sequence of visions, I suppose, Elijah sees an earthquake. And God was not in the earthquake. He sees a mighty wind, and God was not in the wind. He sees a great fire, and God was not in the fire. All those powerful images of where we might expect to find God, and we don't. And then Elijah heard a still, small voice, and God was speaking to him in the still, small voice. And the thing about a still, small voice is, unless you listen carefully, you won't hear what it says. You lose it in the background noise that is all around us. Some years ago, I was invited to preach at York Road Baptist Church in Swansea in South Wales. I've always thought it odd that a person of my theology would be invited to speak there, but there we are. They did invite me. It's a very historic Baptist church in an area that has changed. All the houses have disappeared through redevelopment, and on one side of the church is a dual carriageway. It's a very busy road, very noisy. On the other side of the church is a railway line, the main West Wales to London line. And from time to time, a train comes thundering down, the whole church begins to shake, and you're trying to preach in the middle of it all, without much of a sound system. It made me think how the noises of life drown out the voice of God, and how we need to get rid of distractions and focus on what God is saying. I have a radio which I turn on in the morning to listen to the news. I then go on making my tea, making my coffee, getting my breakfast, whatever it is. And if you came in and said to me, "What was on the news just now?" I'd think, "I don't know." Because I wasn't really listening. It became background noise and I didn't remember it. Now, maybe it's just me, but unless I focus on something, I don't take it in. And I think the same thing can happen to us with God's voice. He's always speaking, but we're not always listening. So how do we focus on God's voice? Well, let me tell you some of the things that work for me, in the hope that they might work for you. The first thing is to set aside time and places where I will focus. Somewhere that's quiet, where I won't be disturbed. I quite often during the week come in here when there's no one else around, and there aren't, in theory, any distractions. There always are distractions, however much you try to get rid of them. But then to be still, to try and center yourself on God by focusing attention on Him, by stilling yourself with some breathing exercises. And I find it helpful to take a scripture or a short prayer and just repeat it over and over to myself. And one that I use a lot is, "Be still and know that I am God." I think it's from Psalm 48, though it could be a different psalm. "Be still as I breathe in, and know that I am God as I breathe out." And that just helps me to calm down and still myself and focus my attention on God. As I'm repeating the verse over and over, I find that if my attention wanders, the words of that verse will bring me back to thinking about God. And then I let my thoughts go, And the verse is still there in the background, focusing what I'm thinking on God. And sometimes, when I've done that, I will leave with a sense of what God has said to me. Just occasionally, I've got a very clear set of words that he said. More often, I'm simply left with the impression that God has been there. He may simply have said, "I love you. I will never fail you, nor desert you," or something like that. It sounds a bit trite, but in some ways, those are the most important things for us to know. "I love you," from God. So setting time and focusing one's attention on listening to God doesn't have to be a long time. Just setting it is the important thing. And then afterwards, reminding yourself of what God has said. Because if you don't make efforts to remember, you forget, or at least I do. So making a mental note of what I believe God has said to me. And then one of the things that I do is I keep a journal so that I write down my experiences of what God is saying. Now that sounds grand, doesn't it? I keep a journal. What I do is I keep a journal for a few days and then a few months go by and I remember I haven't. But it's still there, and if I look back at it, I can often see a trend of what God is saying. If we believe in angels, we believe in a God who has a message for us. And if we have a God who speaks a message, we should be making an effort to listen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.